destroy this temple.
And in 3 days I will raise it up.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has been 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about him, for he himself knew what was in man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our hymn.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, I started watching a mystery series on Netflix. It's kind of a classic whodunit. A married couple in London is attacked one night and the husband loses his life. And the series follows the wife as she tries to unravel the crime and find the perpetrator. Each week's episode unfolds with a new person as he is introduced into the storyline, all to make you point at the TV and say, "That must be the bad guy. They should arrest him." But by the end of the episode, it's clear that it's not that person. And then it all starts over again in the next episode. So far, it has been nearly impossible to figure out who the bad guy in all of this is. Not something that Jesus would have trouble with. You see, there is a somewhat odd verse in our gospel reading for this morning. At the very end, we hear that Jesus needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. In other words, Jesus knows all people. So what does that mean for us? Well, our text begins with Jesus in the early stages of his ministry, and it's time for the annual Passover celebration. It was a requirement for the Jews to go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover each year. So as Jesus arrives at the temple, he was disgusted by what he found. The courts had been turned into a street-style open marketplace. Sellers had set up shop and were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons to those who had traveled to the city from far-off lands. Money changers were there, changing foreign money into the local currency so that the faithful could pay the temple tax. Only shekels were accepted. Now, in reality, it's not a bad system. The foreign believers had to make quite a long journey to Jerusalem, and they would find it very difficult to bring these type of animals with them. We've all traveled, haven't we? And we know the less you bring, the easier it is. So there needed to be some way for these travelers to acquire the necessary sacrificial animals upon arriving to the city. In fact, in the Old Testament, God had given instructions for this very kind of arrangement. The problem is that the sellers had set up shop right in the temple itself. It was in the area called the Court of the Gentiles. Now, to get to the men's court, or to the women's court, any visitor would have to pass through the court of the Gentiles. Now, if you've ever seen barnyard animals left in a pen for any amount of time, you know what the floor looks and smells like. Worshippers would have to wade through this. Instead of singing entrance hymns and psalms preparing for worship, there would be an awful distraction with the bargaining over the cost of animals and the exchange rate for currency. Now, because people are people and they never change, I imagine that many of these merchants were no different than those in the days of Amos. There is no problem figuring out how guilty everyone was of disgracing the house of God. Now, as Jesus enters the temple, there is no problem for him to figure out who the bad guys are. They are all out in the open to see. Now, Jesus, incorrectly thought by some to be weak and soft, shows himself to be a man of strength and of action. He personally, that is, all by himself, takes on the entire market. He takes cords, fashions them into a whip, and drives the animals and the merchants out of the temple grounds. I knew a pastor from Spokane who once said, "When people tell me I need to act more like Jesus, I tell them turning over tables and driving people with whips is well within a proper course of action." Zeal for his Father's house shows that he is no wilting flower. Not only did Jesus take them all on, but according to our text, not one of them even bothered to stand up against him. This is the point in our story where we often say, "You go, Jesus, well done. You saw those temple insiders and those bad guys, and you tossed them out in short order. Good job." There can be no doubt that the smelly spectral of sweaty people and droves of animals being sold within the temple courts, the house of the Lord, was certainly bad. But Jesus was seeing even more than that. He was looking into their hearts. He saw their duplicity, hiding behind God's instructions in order to make higher profits. And as bad as the scene and the smell had to be, the spiritual stench of that place, the lust for money at God's expense, was worse. How do we know this? Because John tells us he knew all people. Jesus knew their hearts and saw them for what they were, sinners through and through, more interested in making a few extra dollars than honoring the Lord's house. Now, before we begin our self-righteous finger pointing and saying, "Yeah, look at those bad guys over there," remember, Jesus knew all people, for he himself knew what was in man. The Lord knows all, and he sees all. And if he knows the hearts of the money changers and the animal sellers, then he knows our hearts as well. He sees our real attitudes toward the Ten Commandments that we heard in our Old Testament reading just a few minutes ago. Although we may not be bowing down to carved images, he sees our attitudes in a myriad of different ways. Our attitudes toward money, hobbies, families. He sees our attitude toward the sins of the flesh, other people's property, toward speaking well of our neighbor. Yes, he sees it all. And all we can do is admit it. Yes, just like the temple merchants, we are one of the bad guys, deserving to have Jesus take a whip and drive us from his presence forever. Dr. Yilevaskar, in his commentary on John, describes why John had to rid the temple of those bad guys. He writes, "The uncleanness of the temple portrayed the corruption of the people and was an image of the impurity of their hearts. The conditions existing in the temple are therefore a testimony against the people. Jesus' blows with the whip struck at their hearts, and the cleansing is a picture of what must occur with the people to make it a holy nation acceptable to God. And what is more, this must be made to apply to the individual. The house of the heart must be cleansed if it is to be a temple of God. We have a spiritual stench, and it is far worse than the largest holding pen of sheep and oxen on a hot day. During Lent, our Lord calls us to recognize our utter need for the cleansing of our hearts filthy with sin. He calls us to allow the just and right law to show us our sins, and then in repentance and faith receive Him as He reaches out to us with His love and His mercy. He utterly desires to cleanse the house of our hearts, to wash it pure with the only cleaning agent that will work, the holy, precious blood shed for you and me and for the whole world. This is what He did on Good Friday on a hill outside of Jerusalem, about 3 years to the day after He cleansed the temple. Zeal for His Father's house drove Him to cleanse the temple that day, and zeal for you, zeal motivated by His eternal love, drove Him to the cross to cleanse you so that you could be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body and soul washed pure and clean, making you to be a righteous one of His forever. In this, you are no longer a bad guy in the sight of God. No, through faith given to you in those precious waters of baptism, you are now His very own, a forgiven child of His. Rather than chasing you out of His eternal presence with a whip, He eagerly walks toward you, always seeking to embrace you, inviting you to dine at His table here on earth and in eternity. Dear children of God, continue to walk with the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith so that the house of your heart may be and remain forever cleansed, that it will be forever a temple of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.